All right, what's up, guys? It's Aaron from the 30 Day No Porn Challenge, and I'm here with my friend Pastor Paul.
Hi, I'm Pastor Paul.
And I just wanted to talk to him about, you know, overcoming sexual sin because, you know, it's a tough topic, and I look up to him in that area for sure, and you know, biblically and. In a lot of ways, so I just wanted him to share how he's his experience overcoming it and or having victory over it. So,
all right. So I don't know where to start, but
you can hold it if you want.
I think the most important thing is to, as Aaron implied, to base it on Scripture, our commitment to morality. It's not a commitment to a cultural morality; it's a commitment to a biblical morality, which our culture, a lot of cultures, just set that aside. They don't care. In our culture, people live with each other without concern about the morality of it. But I think God, I have no question that God blesses those that are committed to a biblical morality. For me, I think for any man, really, I can't speak for women, but for any man, overcoming the impurity, I guess I would call it, I think it starts with what I would say call impurity, what the Bible calls impurity, and that is, it's what goes through your mind, you know, and there are certain triggers that we have. I think we have to be aware of them. I think they tend to be very similar. You know, there are pictures, there's porn, there's TV shows, all sorts of things that, you know, kind of prompt us to think about sexual things, and that obviously can lead to poor choices. So your thoughts?
Yeah, no, it's definitely, I definitely agree with you on having a biblical mindset, and like, you know, how you said your mind cultivated by, you know, biblical instead of cultural. Mm-hmm. That's powerful. And, when I asked Pastor Paul about how to overcome it, he gave me scriptures to memorize and scriptures to go over and scriptures. So that's powerful.
Yeah, and that's, I think it's important to have scripture in your mind. In the Bible, there's numerous verses that, well, the Psalms say, you know, meditate on the scriptures day and night. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, I'm sleeping at night, except, you know, sometimes I'm not, and as I wake up, there's a tendency to have, you know, less than pure thoughts, and so I want to make sure that instead of, when that comes up, I can kind of replace that with a verse from Scripture. And that's important because our minds are never in a vacuum. They're always thinking about something, even when you're asleep. And so as I see an inappropriate thought coming, you know, by the grace of God, I put a scripture there instead, which, you know, that sounds easy, but it's not. It is just plain not. For me, one of the important aspects of avoiding impure thoughts and impure behavior is to follow the advice of Job. And I forget the chapter, but it's interesting that he's talking about his commitment to purity. And he says, I never give a beautiful woman a second glance. So it shows his loyalty to his wife, but it's also a reminder to those that are married or unmarried that, you know, as a beautiful woman walks by, you can't help but look. But, you know, you bring your focus back and you say, you know, I don't need to look at that a second time. Another friend and I have a rule we call 3-second rule. You get to look at a woman for 3 seconds and that's it. And that might be too long for some of us. But that's just, there's a lot of, I don't want to call them tricks, but devices we can use to say, this will help me step away from impurity on a regular basis. I don't think there are any guarantees. We live in a fallen world. We are fallen people. But and God forgives. That's the wonderful thing about it. No matter how often I sin, God forgives. I look at Peter, who was obviously angry at someone. He says, well, how often should I forgive someone? And Jesus says 70 times 7 times. So, and of course, then 1 Corinthians says you can't keep count, so obviously you forgive constantly. Well, if that's the command to us, then obviously God gives us even more grace. He forgives us more often, which is a huge relief, and it's it allows us to live what I would think is, for me anyway, a less burdened life. So take it from there, Aaron. Where do you go from there?
Definitely, that's powerful. Like, if you don't have that condemnation, you don't feel like God's like condemning you, if that you're going to hell if you, you know, lust, or you know, that frees you to wanna please Him. I think out of obedience, not out of fear or out of like slavery mentality where you're just like just fearful of making a mistake and falling into guilt and constantly and all that.
Yeah, and I think one of the huge problems with any person is this, the concept of guilt. And there's two kinds of guilt. There's real guilt and there's false guilt. And real guilt is the best, really, because you can get rid of it. You ask God to forgive you, He forgives you. False guilt, I would say, much more difficult to deal with because it's not real. It's Satan or a demon saying, you did wrong and you're going to get it. And God says, I forgive you. And it's kind of ignoring the absolute voice of God and the promise of forgiveness. And it's accepting either the flesh or the devil saying, oh, you can't be forgiven, you're too bad. And that is a lie that I think it always is involved in false guilt. It's, I feel guilty because I did something, but wait, God forgave me. Or I feel guilty because I think I did something. So it's a challenge, but I think it's appropriate every day to deal with both the real guilt, ask God to forgive, and the false guilt, and say, Lord, help me set this aside. I don't want to listen to the voice that says I'm guilty when I know by your grace I'm not.
Amen. Amen. That's good. That's really good. So the false guilt. So would you say the false guilt is more like shame, where it's like I did something and...
Yes, it definitely has to do with shame. False guilt and shame, I think, are equal, if I understand it right. I feel embarrassed. I feel guilty because I'm considering a thing that I've already been forgiven for, or something that I said or thought that really is not something I'm validly or appropriately accused of. That's one of Satan's names, is the accuser. And obviously the ones he accuses are those that follow Jesus Christ, and followers of Christ, especially I think as they're obedient, tend to be more under accusations of Satan, because Satan wants to knock us down. He wants to make us think that we cannot be a part of the Great Commission. We cannot be a part of loving each other as we're supposed to. That's why the Apostle Paul says, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. And honestly, when there is other debt, whether financial or otherwise, it's something that I think drags on that one debt we owe, which is to love one another.
That's good. Amen. So any other things besides, I know you mentioned memorizing scripture, not like, so replacing the thought with scripture. So, a good one I like to think about is 1 Corinthians 10:13. There is no temptation that is overtaking you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape. I really like that one. And any other things that have helped you, have victory in this area?
Yeah, there's a couple. I mean, I want to deal with two. The one is prayer. I have a Christian friend who I asked how often he prays. He says, well, I pray every time I go to the bathroom. And I'm thinking, really? You know, is that the way to honor God, by speaking to Him when you're going to the bathroom? That's totally inappropriate, in my opinion. And I've told my friend that. But I think we need to found our day on one-to-one personal prayer to God. For instance, before I came here, I was in a prayer meeting with some guys. Your dad wasn't there. But there was also, I mean, I just went home and I kneeled down and I prayed because I felt like this was an important get-together. I felt like we had important issues. So I think we found our commitment to purity and obedience and love on that first, in my opinion, early in the morning, I'm praying me and God, only me and God. And then as I have issues come up, I think, you know, that quick, I think the prayer God is most likely to answer is help, you know, whether it's with temptation or with a difficult decision or whatever. So when I found it on, and I'm not saying God can't answer that prayer, you know, if you haven't prayed in 10 years, but I just think I have more confidence in an answer if I found it that day on some time spent alone with God. The other thing I wanted to mention was some verses that have changed my life incredibly, almost as much as the change in my life that came when I put my faith in Christ that resulted in my salvation. But that's in Philippians 4, about 1 to 10. I'll just sum it up a little bit. But basically, Paul goes through the difficulties we face just in general, and he says, take all those things, and I would just call it all those things that are falling apart in my life, whether it's temptation to sin or whether it's a habit of sin, to take all those things, and it says with prayer and thanksgiving turn them over to God. That is so important. I held a burden of not forgiving my father for decades because he was abusive, but that didn't make it right for me not to forgive him. For me, it was important to forgive him, even though he didn't think he needed to be forgiven, because it's in that forgiveness that a burden was lifted from me. So I take the things that are falling apart, the refusal to forgive, typically a person close to us, and to forgive. And that makes me not guaranteed to avoid temptation, but it makes me less susceptible to fall into temptation. But Paul concludes there in Philippians chapter 4, and I'm not going to get it right, but basically he says, you know, the things that are going right, that whatsoever is beautiful, whatsoever is excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. And boy, that is a solid help to avoid thinking and acting on impure thoughts. I have to refocus my gaze, my life on the things that are excellent, the things that God is doing that are a blessing. And in my experience, that can even happen through the most difficult times. If I say, God, I need something to be grateful for. I'm grateful for my salvation, but would you give me a little thing of which I can rejoice, where I can be thankful in spite of any difficulty, tragedy, or chaos going in my life? That helps when I just say, I'm going to force my mind to dwell on what God is doing that results in my being blessed.
That's powerful. Any other practical, because I've pondered on that verse quite a bit, and the whatever's noble, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's honorable, and all that. Like, what else can we practically focus our minds on, you know, that is just something practical we can think about? Would you say?
You're hurting me here, Aaron. He's making me dig deep, and that's okay. What other things are practical in avoiding basically immorality or impure thoughts? I would say definitely being in a group where you're accountable. I have three groups, people that I'm accountable to. And honestly, in those, and one of them is my wife, so that's just one person. But then I have the group that we met this morning, and we're accountable to each other. And I have another group that I meet. And honestly, not any of them knows everything about my errors, my faults, my sins. But if you could talk to, and I won't let you, but if you could talk to all of them, you would know everything that I do, everything I do that's wrong. Because I go to them, I say, hey, I do that. Hey, I'm thinking this. And they help me. And they say, wow, I've had that problem. I need to turn from it. So I would look for an accountability group where you can share confidentially, but also transparently, and just say, you know, here's what I'm going through right now. Accountability is, and Jesus held his disciples accountable, so that's an excellent place to start with, you know, in order to live the life that God wants you to live. Look for places and people to be accountable to.
Amen. Staying accountable for sure. Keeping accountable. That's awesome. So any other things on your mind that you, in your prayer time that you were thinking about that you wanted to share, or anything else you wanted to share?
If not, it's all good.
Yeah, I can't think of anything. And you know, and God deals with each of us uniquely. So the things that He's convicted me of and dealt with me on, He may deal with you slightly different. I know as a counselor in a in-house addiction place, home, I saw people and they said, you know, I smoke cigarettes, I do drugs, and I need to quit them both. I'm there, no. You know, let God wants you to deal with one thing at a time. So deal first with the thing that's going to kill you first. Cigarettes are going to kill you, but it's going to take some time, typically. You know, whereas the drugs, they can kill you tomorrow. So look for God's priority and deal with those things, and only expect that God is going to, as Aaron quoted, 1 Corinthians 10:13, was it, or second? I forget.
First, yeah.
That, you know, He's only going to put on you that which you can bear. It's going to take the help of Jesus to bear it, honestly. It doesn't say that which you can bear alone, but that which you can bear if He's with you, and you can count on Him being with you as He promised.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for your time.
Hey, God bless you, Aaron.
God bless you.
And your
Thank you.